very femmed out twink who had been doing disaster tourism in Ukraine for the last year.
Stop it.
Wearing a MAGA hat, smoking a cigarette, and a Vivian Westwood sweater that was mesh. You could see his nipples through it. I was like, you are just the incarnation of this thing.
This
right
is Times Square in a person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So you've been doing disaster tourism in Ukraine.
Yeah, I don't really know
Stefan.
Why.
That was like Stefan. Yeah. There's a femmed out twink we've been doing.
Yeah, very much like that. Right, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Emily Jashinsky, top of roll A1, B1, C1.
Emily Jashinsky, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You mentioned liberal universalisms before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a few questions about the new right.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain elements within the new right that do not apply liberal universalisms.
Mm-hmm.
Not only protectionism, isolationism, but philosophically, metaphysically,
mm-hmm.
even there are people who, Alexander Dugin, for example, there's a very different vision of what would constitute human rights in different civilizations, different history societies. To what degree do you think those currents within the new right are dominant, influential, or worth being aware of?
I think the one strain that is really robust, concerningly robust, is the Nietzschean strain.
Hmm.
And which is interesting, right? Because like a Nick Fuentes Groiper type is deeply anti-Nietzschean, although sometimes gets kind of lumped in, which is an odd thing to do. I think it's that reflexive, anybody who's anti-Semitic is a Nazi and Nietzschean or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it happens with Fuentes. But he's actually very much, I would say, defensive and protective of Christianity in the Tom Holland definition that Christianity stands up for the weak. And that's where he gets all of this pull with men.
Right.
And I'm not in any way saying that, you know, Nick Fuentes is a good representation of Christianity. As a Christian, I would not say that. But he is very defensive of that particular, which is, you know, Holland argues the foundation of classical liberalism itself is that Christianity sprung up as a defense of the weak against the strong.
Right.
And Fuentes is interestingly in that strain. But there is this, I think, Andrew Tate strain that could go in a lot of interesting and different directions when you combine it with the Curtis Yarvin post-liberal. And I wouldn't put Patrick Deneen in that category, even though he's sort of like the definitional post-liberal, but people who are like neo-monarchists or, you know, Yarvinists, whatever, when you combine Tate with that, that just becomes a, you know, those are ideas that say the people who sort of win in the marketplace of power, they deserve it, and they should.
Power is self-legitimizing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of will to power, might makes right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you say that we need to, we need a Red Caesar. I think people who have made the Red Caesar argument would not make in any way the Andrew Tate arguments. But I think because they're making it in a context in which Andrew Tate is popular, you are flirting with something very, very dangerous, which is, you know, overthrowing democracy or constitutional republic, however you want to put it, in the name of raw power at a time when people are seeking the self-legitimization of raw power for a sense of purpose and meaning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's dangerous.
Some of these conflicts extend past just Republican-Democrat disputes.
Mm-hmm.
These are questions of like Enlightenment values, human rationality. They specifically call it the dark Enlightenment. To what degree, coming from the background of Christianity,
mm-hmm.
my understanding is that those values are in some way historically and philosophically entangled,
mm-hmm.
that the equality of both the king and the peasant before the eyes of God precedes equality under the law, according to John Locke.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see Christianity and this like kind of reactionary Catholicism in the new right being bundled together? Is there a conflict between those values?
It's tough because one interesting aspect of Christianity is that, you know, it's not a political prescription.
Sure.
And that's a bit different, actually, from Judaism and Islam, where in the Old Testament, there are actually a lot of rules and regulations, and you can see that being sort of built into state capacity much more easily than Christ, who said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and, you know, live within these systems. They will be oppressive. You will, life will not be fair, you know, seek justice. But it's it's not like a prescription for how to build a government in any way. And so anytime people try to say that we need a monarchy, like a papacy, I mean, I think there are some people who in their most quiet moments on the new right, in their own heads, what they ultimately want is a return to Rome and a papacy. And that is the sort of end of their vision. And yes, I do think that's very much in tension with the American project completely. And they, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why it's in their quiet moments and they're not out there talking about we should be, colonized by the Vatican. Mm-hmm. but I think that is ultimately what they want. Yes. And I think that's where you also see them re-exploring the Crusader motif.
Big time.
Yeah. And they'll ironically, or maybe not so ironically, drop Reconquista all over the place. It's just on X and social media. And again, this is a small slice of the public, but I do think that's where this is where the strain is mutating towards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've written about the Crusader meme quite a bit before, and there's some really deep, kind of ugly ideas buried in there, particularly in reference to Christchurch. A few other incidents of violence. There are, however, different strains among the new right. Some of them are not necessarily Christian at all. Some of them are pagan. Mm-hmm. Evola and Gwenon also come up, have been mentioned by Bannon in the past. Do you find them to be influential?
I don't know who they are.
Really? Oh, great. That's fantastic news.
Tell me.
Oh, these guys are fucking awful.
Who are they?
Evola is a self-described hyper-fascist. He's an Italian theorist. He's the guy who wrote, what is the meme book, Revolt Against the Modern World.
Oh, okay.
Deep Aryan traditionalism, spiritual racism is what they call it. Mm-hmm. So it gets at a kind of much darker kind of neo-caste system. Mm. I'll put this behind the paywall because I don't want to add more fuel to this fire. Mm. But it has been phenomenally successful among Gen Z meme posters of furthering his stuff. I somehow made the terrible mistake a few years ago of just cataloging all of these meme books that travel through the network. Mm. And then I just read all of them and I'm stupider for it. It was I have to say, that was the most unpleasant, stupidest experience where I have learned and gained insights from people like Hans Hermann Hoppe, for example, even that far, okay, I learned something from that book. Reading Evola is I'm worse for this. I didn't need to know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's good news.
What was going to say that? I mean, that sounds like BAP. It sounds like this pagan romanticization of past, I guess, systems of culture. And BAP, in the meme book, it's just it feels like dorm room libertarianism, but in, of course, the opposite pole, right? Uh-huh. Where they just discovered something animating and what they see as sexy because we're all adrift and looking for meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you're the dorm room libertarian and you realize, oh, actually, government doesn't have to have any involvement in marriage. That's a super powerful realization. Because it's counter-narrative and it's outside of the mainstream history, government, civic lesson. And that's always powerful when people are looking for something to give them meaning and purpose. And when you can find a new, I guess, sense of what that might look like, you can find a new, that's energizing to people. And that's what I think, that's why I think there's such a shallowness to a lot of this. First of all, again, the medium is the message, and social media tends to incentivize shallow discourse. I mean, we're talking 280 characters on X. That in and of itself tells you what you need to know. And that, I think, has created a superficial knee-jerk ideology, whether it's some on the left, some on the right.
Ideology?
Yeah. But
that's what they call it. That's a Zoomer term that I picked up. Yeah.
You speak the language fluently.
I've spent a lot of time with them now. Have you known anyone who's gone through this Bernie to New Right pipeline?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think if there was anyone who I know personally who was explicitly
Personally. Because we all hear about it in the abstract, but I've got a few.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm